Happy February, everybody. I should say, actually, happy February, everybody. But we'll pronounce it like it's spelled. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, February 1st, 2022. And so January is behind us, okay? One less month of winter here in Maine. All right, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us today, or perhaps you're listening on the archives, and you probably know that we archive every show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. We're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's where everything we do is located, including our magazine, which is called Equity in Access. It's a wonderful online journal. All right, and DeCosin, who we're going to have on the show tonight, talking about the K-12 tech innovation. Lots of months they send in a nice column for us. We put it in there. We love working with them because they're very concerned about equity and access and all those things. We're going to talk about K-Tech innovation today with DeCosin. Please go over to ace-ed.org. Check out our magazine. You'll enjoy it if you take the time to read it. Okay, all of our stuff. We have a new newsletter that comes out every week right on site. All right, various news and all that, plus a link to our other site, which is Social Emotional Learning, seltoday.org. So check it all out. You can link over there, ace-ed.org. And without further ado of me blabbing so early in the day, okay, I'm going to bring on our guests, and there they are. The first one I'm going to bring on is someone who is struggling right now to stay awake, okay, and that is Tishon Christie. Tishon, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you for getting up so early in Washington. It's 9 o'clock here in Maine. It's 6 a.m. there. Thank you, my friend.
No problem. Glad to be here.
No problem at all. And by the way, first of all, call me Larry, obviously. And if you have trouble getting up so early, be sure to remember to blame Keith. Would you do that for me?
Sure. I didn't go to sleep, so I'm good.
Oh, good man. Okay. Janice, are you there? Oh, by the way, Tishon is Executive Director of Organizational Effectiveness. I love that title. Kent School District in Kent, Washington. He's Executive Leader for Data Services, Assessment Research Strategy, and Technology on all those sort of teams. Janice, are you there in Wisconsin?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, Larry?
I can indeed. Janice Mertes, who's the Assistant Director of Teaching and Learning for the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Thank you for being here. It's 8 a.m. there. I don't feel so bad for you. How's the weather in Madison?
It's a little cooler
you're in Madison.
Today. Again, in Madison, yep, a little cooler today. But again, to my friends on the East Coast, I think you have it worse, so we're fine. So.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. And actually, it's not so bad. I'm looking out at a pile of snow that's been plowed on my front lawn. It's about 6 feet high. I live in Maine.
Yeah.
Okay? So anyway, what can I tell you? All right. And Janice leads the statewide Future Ready and Wisconsin Digital Learning Plan programs, in addition to heading the State Superintendent's Digital Learning Advisory Council. Are you busy, Janice? When do you have time? It's only 24 hours in a day.
You know, in addition to helping our schools with COVID, this is also, I think, an exciting time thinking about what's next and how we're going to reinvent education moving forward. So it's exciting.
I love your optimism. You are wonderful. And now impersonating Keith Krueger, we have an unnamed actor who sounds just like him. Keith, sorry, I've been practicing that all morning. Keith Krueger, my old friend, is the CEO of COSIN, a nonprofit organization that we all know and love that serves as the voice of K-12 school system technology, and these days more than ever, empowering education leaders to leverage technology to realize engaging learning environments, and that's what the use of technology is all about. I'm a big fan. I don't know who the actor is impersonating Keith. How are you today, Keith?
I'm good. Wonderful to be here from a crisp Washington, D.C. It's we've got a nice winter day. It's going to get warmer later this week, so we're looking forward to that.
And just explain to the person in Maine here what a nice winter day in Washington is. What's the temperature, 60?
Well, right. It's actually about 25 degrees today,
oh
but it's going to get up in the 40s. It's going to get up in the late high 40s later today.
Wow.
So. Okay. But my walk this morning
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. And that is Keith Krueger, my good friend, who's the CEO of COAST. Have been doing these shows for years together, and he's just a great guy. And it'll get warm again. Don't worry. Cherry blossoms will be out again soon, as we like to say. I have to, Keith, I'm going to start with you. This is actually quite funny. So I went to the website this morning, okay, over at COAST, to look at the new innovation report. All right? And I clicked on a few things, and I remind everybody today it's February 1st. And I decided I would read more about the tech enablers and hurdles and accelerators, okay, concerning all the tech innovation. And today's February 1st, and here's what I saw. A link will be posted here following the summit on February 2nd. I'm a day early, Keith.
You are. Okay. You're getting a big preview today.
Yeah, all right, I know. That's why we're here, to get this preview of this incredible report. And did Tishan and Janice help put this together, Keith?
They did. They did. Wow. They were on our educator advisory board of 100 people from about 60% are from North America, but the other 40% are from around the world.
Good for you. I didn't know that, and that is fabulous, and that's great to know. And I'll just ask you one question as we get started. When we look at the rest of the world, how where's American education right now technologically against the rest of the world? What did we learn?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the lens that this is a piece of global research that we think can inform leaders from the United States, but also other places, because innovation, you know, doesn't stop at the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. And it started 14 years ago. For those of you who have been around as long as you and I have, Larry, you'll remember it used to be called the Horizon K-12 report.
Yeah.
And we were a partner with it in its first 10 years, but it was run by a higher ed association. They stopped 4 years ago, and we took it over, rebranded it, and reorganized it. It used to be around time limits, like what are the most important technologies for this year, 2 to 3 year horizon, 4 to 5 year. We've changed that, and we organize it in three buckets. What are the hurdles that we're trying to overcome, which is kind of the why, you know, what are we trying to do? What are the barriers is another way to think of it. Second bucket is kind of what are the accelerators, which is how do we swim with the current? What are the big things that are happening in education and outside of education that we can leverage? And it's only final in the third part of the report that we talk about the technology. We call it the tech enablers. And in each of those three buckets, we pick three trends and announce them each year. So these are the 2022 trends. So do you want me to do with the drum roll what they are?
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you. So what are they? Go ahead. And feel free. I'm going to bring them on, but feel free to bring Tishan and Janice on if you wish to. But right now we're just talking to you.
Great. So the three big hurdles, and Tishan and Janice jump in. The first one is one that's appeared before, called scaling innovation. However, this year the experts added, and the inertia of education systems. And I think that it isn't just scaling innovation, but that there's an inherentness in our school systems to go slow and be conservative, not ideologically, but in terms of just moving change slowly.
Yep.
The second one is a completely new trend for the year, attracting and retaining educators and IT professionals. There's a huge challenge to that. And the final one is digital equity. That has been here for the last several years. Certainly the pandemic has highlighted the challenge, not only at school, but out at home. So why don't I pause there and see if Tishan or Janice would like to
And just
jump
before
in
I bring them on, and I appreciate all that, I just want to comment, the inertia, and I hate to say this, school districts, and I'm not saying this so much derogatory, they are bureaucracies, they are bureaucratic, and they have to run through a lot of cycles, okay, including asking the public. All right, and it takes time to explain all that. So it's a bureaucratic system. B, and I want to talk to both of our guests about this, attracting educators and ed tech directors, ed tech people, okay, that's a problem across the board right now, and I think that's going to be the giant problem coming now and in the future. And see, I want to congratulate COSE, and you know, we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and you guys have stood for equity for a long, long time, so I'm not surprised at number three. That's what I have to say about that. So, Tishan, okay, talk about your district in regards to, I know, inertia. You want to talk about that? Attracting the right educators and educators at all, and also equity. Tishan, go. It's yours.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thinking about this one specifically, uncertainty in the current state of technology or student achievement especially, I think it's causing a risk-averse view on the change that happens in school districts, also called innovation. And I think that that's rightfully so, because education is the reason for school systems, but still the perfect opportunity for innovation is still here. And school leadership turnover that's happening right now kind of leads to some strategic changing of strategic priorities, and that could lead to some of the inertia as well. So I've been thinking about this idea of perceived risk and then what it takes to justify change to communities, and kind of focusing on all that while you're still trying to keep the lights on, so to speak, in the middle of all this constant change, daily changes and initiatives, changes in compliance, regulations, assessments, and some of the things that I'm responsible for. Makes that tough. And that's specifically in this innovation. And I think our current environment of the pandemic and everything enhances this barrier, makes it really tough for us to be able to move forward. And I don't know if you wanted me to jump into this attracting, retaining educators, because this is
of
one
course.
Of the ones I'm
Go
pretty
ahead,
passionate about.
Yeah,
so I think
do it.
Technology job staffing is highly competitive, but the salary is not so much, especially in ed tech and K-12.
Yep.
And then onboarding is usually limited to job roles that don't take into account culture and are not used as an opportunity to train managers and supervisors. So this lack of focusing on onboarding is causing retention challenges, right? Because leaders impact retention as much as pay and job responsibilities, but there's not necessarily a focus on culture. It's always a focus on getting bodies in. So highlighting this will allow school districts to really strategize on what can happen in the future with the staffing. And then most school districts have a strategic initiative that either mentions or is specific to retention, but there's less people entering the teaching profession, especially on the uncertainty of the past 2 years. So we're entering a time where unless a district can grow their own programs or increase the recruiting efforts and are not already in a place to move, there'll be a constant and growing gap.
Are you done,
Tishan? Yep. I didn't know if you wanted me to talk about digital equity, too. I can if you like.
Of course, go ahead. We're going to get to Janice. You go ahead. You go ahead. I want to hear what you got to say. Go ahead. Go.
Appreciate that. And I see the need for districts to partner directly with teaching programs on recruiting efforts. Some districts do deal directly with educational institutions, higher ed and such, to really try to get at where the gaps are happening. But I think until teacher pay changes, right, that should be directly addressed before anything else can move forward, especially with this retention piece. Because it's been made clear that schools are the central to the fabric of the local community, state, politics, and federal initiatives. The teaching profession should be supplemented to help with retention and attraction. And that also extends to ed tech, right, because a lot of ed tech jobs, again, aren't necessarily seen as being – enterprise grade. You can tell when you're dealing with vendors and other people that come into school districts that oftentimes they think that you're a small shop kind of patching things together with glue and scotch tape. And the fact we have highly trained professionals who are really trying to get things done, but sometimes the pay doesn't allow us to be able to retain the people who are actually doing their part to support the people who support instruction. And then digital equity. I think one of the big things that you've discussed at the national level is defining the need. So despite a lot of conversations that deepen the understanding of digital equity, the common narrative still centers around connectivity, and we're really trying to push past that. And I think one of the reasons that connectivity is what's talked about a lot is that it's a straightforward target. So although connectivity is a known issue that's hopefully shrinking, there are other use cases for us to set up environments for digital equity to thrive. And the use cases are often limited by how school districts actually work. So let's say we had a situation where there was instruction happening at the lower grades. And despite the fact that high-quality PD may be available to support students in learning digital citizenship basics, engage in curriculum aligned to tech standards, and have easy mm-hmm. access to digital collaboration environments. New curriculum has a rigorous approval process and often approved at the board level, which means that if you're trying to put digital equity initiatives in place that are aligned to curriculum, it often takes time. And by the time that you get that in place, it often is much later where the energy is gone. So in an environment where offsetting gaps in learning is fully pushed by the prioritization of SEL, rightfully so, it's not embedded in instructional practice. So then you end up in a space to where you talk about digital equity, but digital equity needs to extend past the digital portion into just straight, what does equity look like in instruction? So we've mm-hmm. been focusing on a lot of these things and a lot of these places and really trying to highlight all the opportunities that exist in the space. And that's all.
But that's a lot. That's all is a lot. And I have to say something. You have a title, Executive Director of Organizational Effectiveness. All right. And
yes.
When you do all those things you just said, I thought was incredibly insightful. Okay, because you took a school district. I don't know whether you thought about this and looked at it under the entire umbrella. All right, and tried to bring all these things together. It's literally it's your title, organizational effectiveness. Okay,
yep.
And it ranges from a whole big thing, but everything links together. Is the point? If you don't think yep. if you can't push one thing under the rug, while the other thing is popping up like a whack-a-mole or something. Okay, you've got to think
yeah.
about it all through, and I thought that was very cool. And thank you for doing that, by the way, at 6:18 in the morning in Kent. That was amazing. All right, so thank you so much. All right, Janice, how can you – let's talk about what you want to say. Go ahead. Talk about all this.
Sure.
Janice,
and I think, and I think Tashan really kind of focused on the district-level perspective. So thinking
yeah.
about the perspective, you know, we have a responsibility, like many of my colleagues in other states and equivalent jobs, to think about the what if. So we often, our motto for this year is today's innovations are tomorrow's practices. And as
nice.
We look at our future
nice.
Programming, you know, we think about the idea of schools may not look the same moving forward. Flexible space, time, place. Everyone's gone through this great experiment where they have opinions. We have students and parents that have a better insight into how their child wants to learn. We've had a massive training of educators around digital technologies and what that can look like. But the heart
mm-hmm.
of it is the student. I think with innovation, we have to talk about personalization. I know that's under the accelerator, but the idea that each child is going to start to map their pathways or think about what they want out of their education. In Wisconsin specifically, you know, we've gone through these cycles where we think we're ready to have these conversations, and then another
yeah.
cycle of COVID. So we've kind of been
yeah.
delayed, but we've been
yeah.
still kind of putting an arrow through it in the sense of where do we see it going. We just recently launched our state computer science plan, which really focuses on the increased digital literacy access to students and the world that we are now preparing them for. Which I don't think any of us can deny is going to include technology. So as we talk to our educational systems and our school districts and our state and our partners, we want to be part of that dialogue to think about how to push that forward. And as I think about innovation, it's not a one and done. It's a work in progress. And, you know, I think if you think districts have barriers and red tape, then you need to think about the state level. But again, our work is advisory, and the work we've done with COSIN is
yeah.
an important part of sharing that with districts as far as kind of research-based, best practice, human interest sides of where this is all going. As far as the attracting, retaining educators, IT professionals, I do think there is leadership on the instructional side that is starting to emerge wearing some of those hats, specifically relative to the planning for digital technology and learning, not so much the hardware and the wires. I mean, our districts have a lot of options as far as how to outsource or to find individuals to help with some of those. But
mm-hmm.
yet, you know, thinking about like the COSA and CETL exam and how you plan and how you organize your thoughts in a strategic way. It's an emerging dialogue. And again, I think in this last year and a half or since March of 2020, I probably have never had so many direct conversations and dialogue with superintendents and assistant superintendents.
Yeah.
So this is now at the higher level. This is something that is now on your plate that they can't ignore. And again, how you staff, how you put these processes in place in your district is going to impact attraction, retention, you know, people wanting to stay, that type of thing. And I'll wrap up with digital equity. We look at it a little bit broader. It's to us, it's not the stuff. Obviously, COVID elevated the stuff. But we look at an extension of that learning with digital literacy for adults and students, digital content and access to authentic learning. And again, what we're hoping is that technology is an enabler or an augmented experience for students. It's an add-on for them to create new knowledge, to be connected, to leverage those skills. And as we've talked with our districts, you know, student identity and the ability to know your student in this world, what are their own barriers to equity is crucial in a lot of different ways. And then also the home front and the relationship with guardians and parents. So we are taking districts through an exercise of what if or what are you keeping out of COVID that elevated? What do you need to improve on? Mm-hmm. And I think, again, equity can be a very broad umbrella. It's not just digital equity. It's equity inclusion, meaning you can use it to the point of being included as a young person in the world of civics and politics and community. Mm-hmm. Adults feel like technology is a bridge that gives them more access. So we've got districts who are like, we're never going to go away from virtual parent-teacher conferences because it's our best turnout ever. Yeah. So it's just it's a really interesting exercise.
Yeah.
And at the state level, we want to partner with our districts to walk them through some of that and also use our kind of our North Star digital learning plan at the state level to help explain that roadmap for districts.
It's really astounding how the pandemic has had this astounding, I used the word twice, excuse me, effect on education and made us think of all these things. It's just, to me, amazing. All right, and I am so much in favor of educational technology, which is not a big deal because I always say we don't – it would be like, say, education chalk. Technology is education these days. And anybody who doesn't understand that and the use of technology in education these days is a damn fool. So we shouldn't be convincing anybody because those kids in northern Wisconsin, that is very rural – just like it is here where I live in rural Maine up north, okay? Well, you know, three-quarters of the state is above me, and I'm pretty far north, okay? It's just amazing that technology can bring – whoa, what's that?
Everybody
okay? Okay, no problem. Okay, that technology can bring to them the best physics professor, the best physics educator, et cetera. We have to understand that must harness the technology, and there's no longer an argument. It's like saying we're going to teach in 1950 without chalk. It's absurd not to do the very best we can. And COSA, you guys have always been on top of this. And Keith, on that note, and by the way, thank you both to Sean and Janice. Okay, Keith, on that note, as you look at school districts right now, what is the priority of technology? I mean, what I hear a lot is that the priority is I think Tashawn brought this word up, social emotional learning. That's the key thing right now. Okay, that's what I hear from most people, not everybody. Where's technology in the great pantheon these days?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And so for the other two buckets, the accelerators, and Janice mentioned one was personalization. Another is building the human capacity of learners and social emotional learning. Those are the three accelerators or mega trends. When you put the lens, though, of technology on, which are the tools or what we call the tech enablers, our experts felt there were three things that were particularly important at this moment. The first was having a digital collaborative environment. You know, when the pandemic happened, you know, and many teachers for the first time went fully remote, there was a lot of just taking any tool, and it was, you know, they were not in one place, and it was hard for students and parents and teachers to find them. So whether it's a learning management system or whether it's, you know, Google Classroom or whatever, you need to have a place where everything is and it's easy accessible. The second big technology that our experts said was broadband, but they pointed out that it's untethered broadband and connectivity. We found that when kids are learning outside of school, 92% are on Wi-Fi. So that there's a mobility aspect to learning that I think we have to have a mindset around. And the last one is analytics and adaptive technologies, the use of data, what could be reframed as the powerful use of it, of data through artificial intelligence. So those were what the experts thought were the biggest technologies and megatrends.
It's a lot to take in. I have to tell you, and if you go, I think tomorrow, if you go to COSIN.org, or actually I just Googled it. Can you just Google the K-12, Driving K-12 Innovation?
You COSIN, can, and if you want to go right to the page, it's COSIN.org/K12Innovation, all one word, for K-12 Innovation.
Thank you.
And you'll
that'll
find
be up tomorrow.
All that about that annual report.
Yeah, that'll be up tomorrow.
It is free. The report is free. You do have to set up a COSIN account, which doesn't cost you anything, and then you can download it.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with COSIN, and, you know, Keith, I'm just curious, at school, how many school districts belong to COSIN? Can you say? Off just on hand?
1,100 as members. Of course, there are thousands and thousands of school districts, so we have a lot of place to grow.
Well, that's exactly my point, okay? COSIN is so important. It's COSIN.org. You have 1,100 wonderful members, wonderful school districts. I can't tell you how active and smart these people are, okay? That leaves us 10,000 school districts that really need to get on the ball here, okay? And go to COSIN.org. And because technology is – you cannot teach – in the 2020s, okay, and into the 2030s, it's technology. And if you don't understand school networking and all that COSIN does, you're a damn fool not to be part of this organization. How's that, Keith? Is that good?
That's good. We'll have to hire you.
Thank you.
We'll double your pay.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I have to ask you, okay, and I have to say this. 2 years ago, I was all set to go to Washington, D.C. for your conference. And it was the first conference I had to cancel due to the damn pandemic.
Right.
Okay. What's going on with the conference this year, Keith?
Yeah. So we would love everybody. We are going to be in Nashville April 11th to the 13th. I will say that we've learned during the pandemic that there are always some people of the team who can't travel. So we have both a live in person. We think that's going to be the most powerful. But if you have people on your team that can't travel, we have team virtual registrations, and we'd encourage you to participate.
Right. And it's hard this year because everybody knows schools are short-staffed right now. And everybody's chipping in to do everything. And it's hard to get to, in this case, Nashville. Okay? But if you can get there and be safe about it, as Keith will obviously tell you. Okay? But please, if you can't be there live and in color, okay, be there virtually. It's that important. It's good. Tashawn, are you going to make the trip across the country? Tashawn?
Right now, we can't necessarily travel that way. So I'm going to be attending virtually.
Absolutely.
At this point, it might change between now and April.
Absolutely. And I would suggest you just put on cowboy boots, cowboy hat, get a guitar, and just pretend you're in Nashville. Okay? That's simple.
I will consider that.
There you go. Just consider it. Okay? Just part of the picture. Janice, what about you?
We are also under some travel restrictions, even within state travel, but we'll be looking at the virtual options. And,
of course.
You know, and we... We're trying to just stay connected within our state. So a lot of time and energy within that. But you know, the resources that are available and accessible. I can't say enough about COSA and other organizations that are trying to accommodate people under these circumstances. Mm-hmm. But someday it will be nice to be able to get back to all those national events and networking.
Absolutely.
You know, and but we are still in the deep of daily support and needs that we are prioritizing. So
be there virtually. Okay, you will gain so much out of it. That's all I can say. And both of you were fantastic. And although Janice is working early today, Tishon, thank you for getting up at 6 a.m. Okay?
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Mine as well. And that was, by the way, Morgan Freeman playing Keith Krueger. You sounded just like him, Mr. Freeman. It was incredible. He was a great actor. Okay. It was great. Keith, you take care of yourself, my friend. Good luck with the conference. We'll do more shows prior. All right?
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. All three of you, stay safe, please. Okay, thanks so much for being here today. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Keith Krueger, my dear friend from COSIN, COSIN.org, K-12, I think it's COSIN.org/K-12 Innovation. We'll get you there to the report. Check it out tomorrow. They'll have the new links up there. Tishon Christie is, I love the title, and boy, did he live up to this, the Executive Director of Organizational Effectiveness at Kent School District in Washington, and Janice Mertes, who works for the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, and is in charge, my gosh, of Future Ready, Digital Learning Plan, and Arizona State Superintendent's Digital Learning Advisory Council. She's a busy lady. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org, and SEL being so important, check out what we do at seltoday.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.